flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Bob, it's a very special time of the week. Time to go to the big boy, Mark Cabali.
He definitely has that machismo.
Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. He's on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, big boy, sorry we're a little late, but you can't be surprised by that. The thing that stood out most to the big boy in the Art Rooney II meeting with the media, what stood out the most? What was most significant?
Most significant is the PR staff provided us with water beforehand. Nice little Gatorade bottles. It was a nice little twist there, Joe. It was the only really surprise that stood out, right? I mean, I thought Art was going to come down with a little bit more of a hammer than he did, although he didn't really play all peaches and cream right there as well. So the biggest thing is I think he realizes right off the bat what wins in this league right now and where their biggest shortcoming is, and that's quarterback. He didn't have an answer for it, have how to fix it. He knows that that's the number one priority of to be able to have a winning franchise and be a franchise like the Colts, not the Colts, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, and all those good teams in the NFL right now. Then you need to have a upper echelon quarterback, and I think he realizes it, but he really hasn't really come up with, or at least he didn't detail a plan of how do you go about that, because they find themselves in a really bad situation. I truly do believe that. I mean, you're choosing one or the other, and you're not going to be able to go get one in free agency. You're not going to get one in the draft right now. You're pretty much saying it's going to be Justin or Russell, and I don't know if that's good enough to get you where you're at. I mean, you recognize the problem, but he didn't come up with any solutions of how to fix it.
Mark, I look at that, and I thought the same thing that, you know, we were talking about chasing quarterbacks, and if you don't get the one you want, how far it sets you back. Are you of the belief that, okay, assuming one of them signs, and I got to believe he has to, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into this, but it sounded to me like Fields was more likely. If that's the case, do they have to draft someone in this draft or just find some free agents until next year when it appears to be more plentiful in terms of quarterback availability and guys coming out at that point in 2026 that can help you if you fall far enough and maybe get up higher in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really go into this draft thinking about using a second, maybe third day pick on a quarterback. I mean, you're talking about really wishing and hoping right there that one of those guys pan out. There's not too many Tom Brady's or Dak Prescott's in the world over the past, you know, 50 years of drafting quarterbacks. So you're almost wasting a pick here unless you fall in love with somebody. Even if you do fall in love with somebody, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the pedigree has to be there. And I don't think that just to put a body in the room, a young body, is going to be something that's conducive of them finding their next quarterback. So, I mean, he did mention he wants to find a quarterback potentially in the draft, but he also said this year or next year, I would not feel forced to go find a Jalen Milroe in the third day or late second day just because he might be a guy that you're semi-interested in. I mean, that's a project on top of a project right there. And
plus, they have a lot of other needs, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
and they could get to the needs. Quarterback eventually, but if it's not available, don't force it. And I think that's what got him into trouble with Kenny.
Especially when you can find running backs in that spot. You can find defensive linemen in that spot. You can find depth players in that spot. If you're just going to take a quarterback and hope he might work out, you might as well just wait until you have a better feel for something. But, I mean, we all forget here, what happens if, you know, Russell Wilson wants to go to the Raiders? What happens if Justin Fields gets paid somewhere else? Then what do? You're in big trouble. So they got to get on this quarterback, one or the other, immediately. And they got to give him an offer where he says, okay, I'm not going to free agency then.
Mark, my biggest takeaway was when Art was asked about if you're closer to a championship now than a year ago, and he seemed like very hesitant to answer it. And to me, it seemed like the answer was no. Do you think they're closer than a year ago?
Probably. I mean, they're probably very similar, right? I mean, what has changed? Quarterbacks all changed over. I mean, last year at this time, you still had some hope. I'm talking about right at this time, that Kenny Pickett might have that one last opportunity to turn into that 20th overall pick. So there was still a little bit of hope there. I mean, Mason Rudolph was coming off a season where there was some promise, at least late in the season there. But you have to be very careful of reading anything that Art's saying right there. I mean, there's stuff that he says that he believes, then there's stuff that he says that he knows he has to say, or people like Joe Starkey will be just absolutely killed him for months for not saying, or saying, no, hey, we're close. No, he can't say that we're close at this point.
I don't know how to read into that, Bob. Was that a criticism? Was the big boy taking a shot at me there?
No, I'm just saying, if he came out and said, Joe, you know, I think we're probably better off than we were last year, you would destroy him, right?
Yeah, how would they be better off than they were last
year? That's what I'm saying. So,
I think he cited the difference between the teams that are still involved and what they have, and specifically quarterbacks and their ability to strike quickly.
Right, because the guy that he has entrusted his franchise to, who's been running the show now for a long time, Mike Tomlin, chose the wrong quarterback.
Right, and when you
chose the wrong coordinator, and instead of having him pay for that in any kind of way, even up to and including his job, Art lavished him in the year they got rid of Pickett and Canada, that he lavished him with an unusually long 3-year extension, making him one of the 5 highest paid coaches in all of sports. Big boy.
Yeah, and what do we see the last 2 days? Right in the thick of things at the Senior Bowl, scouting and evaluating.
That's right. My read on it, Mark, honestly, just being honest here, is that I think, and I can relate to this because I've lived a lot of my life in fear. I think Art is afraid. I think he's afraid of what life after Mike Tomlin would look like, what life before Chuck Knoll looked like. He's afraid of sinking into, you know, Browns territory and Jets territory. And he's just operating out of a world of fear. That's my honest take. You?
I mean, that's fair enough. That's fair enough considering, too, Joe, that he's probably near the end of his run as running this franchise. And the last thing he wants to be known for is a guy that's put together 3 or 4, 4 or 5 win seasons right now and be a guy that fires Mike Tomlin and hires a coach like, Liam Cohen or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So he might just be playing it safe as well. Another thing that I thought coming out of that meeting Monday was is how much was he saying he believed and how much was he saying that he believed that the fan base wanted to hear? I don't know if I could I don't know if I how to read Art if he was just, you know.
I don't know, man. If that was his attempt to appease the fan base, it fell flatter than any public performance I've ever seen.
Of course. I mean, saying the quarterback, of course. I mean, him saying that you need the quarterback, of course everybody's going to believe that. Him saying we're not that close, of course that's going to appease to the fan base somewhat. So he knew what to say. So I don't know if he would play games like that. Typically in these meetings, he's pretty much what he says, even though it's low key. It's pretty much what he means. Last year, he pretty much put Kenny Pickett on blast, if you recall. And a month later, he was gone. A couple years before, that's when, you know, we need to run the ball more. And they ran the ball more, but they weren't as successful. So normally what he says in at least his opening statement is what he truly does believe.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell. Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But, you know, when it comes right down to it, they have a lot of decisions, and one of them is George Pickens. So I asked him twice about that when I had a chance to talk to him, and I got the feeling that the off-the-field stuff is going to be a real big part of this discussion. How realistic is it for you to think that they will eventually move on from him, or do you think the talent is so much there that they're going to have to pay it?
Well, I think what we can do is totally cross off the list of them extending him, right?
You would cross that off immediately just because
I think you do that so you're right gonna, now.
So you would wait until the end of that next year?
I think you let it play out. Okay. I think you have to have to go that route right now. You have to cover your rear end, to be honest with you. I mean, if he plays it out this season, has a good year, then so be it. Maybe you can use the tag or whatever to your advantage in the future. I don't know, but I am almost leaning the opposite way of keeping him regardless of this year, because the last thing I think you want to do is go into the season with, you know, Calvin Austin is your number one and, you know, Keenan Allen is your number two or somebody you pick up off the scrap heap right there. Unless you find somebody who is a legit wide receiver one before the draft, I don't move on from George Pickens. I don't sign him long term. But I put him out there and just, you know, pray and hope that he, you know, gets better. And for the most part, if you recall this year, that first maybe third of the season to half of the season, you saw a different George. At least I did.
No, you didn't. He quit in the Cowboys game. The Cowboys game was in the first third of the season.
No, it wasn't. That was like October. That was like Halloween. Whatever. The first couple – 5-6 games, I thought he was a different guy. He carried himself a different way. Then it just switched. I mean, I think he's still extremely young. At this point, I mean, Art said it, and I do believe it. You almost have to cross your fingers and say, I hope it works out. But I wouldn't give him any guarantees. Absolutely not.
You mentioned that Art's, you know, maybe in the waning days of the guy running the Steelers, Mark. So who's next? I hear of Danny Rooney. Yeah. And does he strike you as the type who would be a little bit more freewheeling? Do you know him? What is the succession plan, and what do you know about Danny Rooney?
Oh, I think Danny's a very, very nice individual and a very smart guy. I mean, he went to the Wharton Business School in Philly. He's been groomed for this position for years now. When I say that, it means he's pretty much been a part of every single level of the organization of the Steelers and even to the NFL. He worked in the NFL office, so he's a very smart individual. He played football, at least in college, and I think all indications, although they haven't made anything public or anything, that he would be the next guy. Now, if that's next year, 3 years, 5 years, that's to be determined. But just to get a guy in there in his 30s, you would have to imagine that he's, you know, night and day different than his father, who's in his 70s. So you would think that he would be more willing to go a different route than what his dad did, just like Art did with Dan.
Yeah, I think Dan is extremely smart, and I think he's also learning a lot here as he goes, because he's gone through this. And I think ultimately, he's a new breed.
What's the timeline, Bob? What do you think the timeline is?
I have no idea what the timeline is.
What do you think, Mark?
But I think he'll be more, involved in evolution of the game. You know, just because he's younger, he's gone through different things. Yes. He's played the game, and I think he's, like I said, very smart. Has learned a lot from the National Football League when he was there. So
Donnie Football has a theory that Art and Tomlin will go out together when Tomlin's contract is done. Is that a reasonable timeline?
I think that would be reasonable. I mean, it depends on what happens over the next couple of years. If Tomlin wins a couple Super Bowls, then maybe that's different. But yeah, I mean, I could see that fitting in right there. I mean, you almost give the next guy a clean slate. I mean, at that point, maybe, you know, the majority of the veterans are moved on from the organization as well, and you just let him take over at that point. I mean, you never know. I mean, when did Dan end up stepping aside? That was early, 03, 04, maybe, when he gave up daily operations. So I think Art's in his 70s, right, Bob?
He's early 70s, yeah.
So, I mean, even if, I mean, I don't think he's Jerry Jones and going to go into his 80s or you know, who's the lady
from the Bears? McCaskey, or
I don't think he's willing. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he'll be totally gone with the situation of the organization when he's there. I think he'll still be around, but the more of the day-to-day stuff he would give to Danny. But once again, that could be a year from now. It could be 7 years from now.
Bob, may I engage the big boy in a game of free association?
If I said no, what would you tell me?
I'd be disappointed and do it anyway.
The answer is yes. That's
no.
Why I know.
It's a courtesy. Here we go, big boy. You ready?
No.
We just had this argument in the hallway. Shady or Curtis Martin? You can combine their college careers and their pro careers. Who's the better running back?
Curtis Martin.
I disagree.
That was my point, too. The same choice. But I know
I'm throwing high school in there, too.
You have
Martin.
Evidence. No,
well, did you see Shady in high school? You're throwing high school in there.
I saw Shady. He was supposed to play McKee Sport in the finals of the 05 state championship, but he got hurt, and McKee Sport ended up upsetting, Bishop somebody or another. I almost saw Shady.
Well, let me tell you about Shady. In 2 years at Pitt, two of them, they both played on crappy Pitt teams, by the way. Shady had 3,364 yards from scrimmage and 36 total touchdowns. Martin, in parts of 4 years, great as he was, had fewer yards from scrimmage, or right around the same, I should say, 3,392, and half as many total touchdowns. Then in the pros, Curtis Martin played about 25 more starts anyway and had about 2,000 yards more from scrimmage. But Shady had two first-team All-Pros, Martin won. And then there's the eye test, and I love Curtis Martin. Like, he was great. I just think Shady's the better all-around running back. I really do.
And this has nothing to do with Shady playing for Buffalo?
It might have a little to do with that, yes.
Cut to the chase.
It might.
They're all great running backs. The other part of this was Franco Harris, who spent half of his time blocking for Lydell Mitchell. People talk about, but he didn't have the numbers in college.
Well, the context of this conversation was Pony coming up to us and saying, who if you include their whole careers, college, pro, who would you rather have? A backfield of Franco Harris and Saquon Barkley or Tony Dorsett and Curtis Martin? And I said, well, first I'd rather have Tony Dorsett and Shady, and I would go with the Pitt backfield, Bob. How about you? College and pros combined.
Yeah, I went to the Pitt backfield.
Over Saquon and Franco?
Yeah, because, again, I think if you're looking at the total body of work, Franco compromised some of his personal yardage to accommodate Lydell Mitchell. He was, in Super Bowl success running, you're going to find Franco at the top of the list there all time.
How about you, big boy? Which backfield did you take?
I might throw Ironhead Hayward in there.
Well, which backfield would you take?
Pitt has had a lot of great things in running backs.
I love Ironhead.
So has Penn State, though.
They all have.
With backfields. Who would you take, big boy?
I would take the Ironhead Hayward / Tony Dorsett because Ironhead, he had a couple decent years in the pros. It was cut, obviously, a little bit short. I just like Ironhead. I just want him in there.
We have to go. I'm sorry.
My goodness.
No, I'm getting all kinds of signals, and then I get in trouble.
Who gave you no signal?
Who gives me trouble?
There were no signals.
There are signals and stuff from the boss and everything. I'm the one who gets in trouble.
Austin, have you seen a signal?
I did not send a signal.
But he is
sending no signals.
What?
I sent no signal, but he does need to go. Yeah.
Thank you, big boy.
Oh, now when I'm on, you got to go. But
meanwhile, your time was cut short, Mark, because he was late anyway. So on both ends of it, you lose.
He was late. Bob's the one who talks at the end of every segment, and I'm the one who's late.
Gosh.
See you, big boy. Bye.
Bye, Mark.
Bye, big boy.